B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Get the Twitch app. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're not allowed to show nudity on Twitch, but apparently there is nudity on Twitch. I heard on the way in. Hot tub videos, they say.
Oh.
And they report you. So you could report us for being nasty and get us kicked off Twitch, and then Nick would be really pointless. You could get Nick fired in one foul swoop. You could just complain about the content. Mm-hmm. And I think they immediately err on the side of caution, and they'll suspend you mid-show.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Because I was listening to, there was a girl on this comedy thing I was listening to, and she said that they could, the people that were mean came onto her Twitch where she eats candy, and they could see a shadow of her nipples under her shirt. She wasn't wearing a bra.
It's a lot of inspection there.
Well, and they complained to Twitch, and sure enough, she was suspended for 3 days.
Because of a shadow?
Like you could see, I guess her shirt was sheer. I was listening. It was audio. I couldn't see anything. So, her shirt was sheer or something, and you could see her nipples.
I do remember.
It's a podcast called, Brief Nudity with Willem Dafoe.
Right, it's called 13-Year-Old Frustration.
Yeah.
It's called by Cable Box.
It's called Young Chatterley's Lover. Young Lady Chatterley's Lover.
It's by Scrambled Cable Box.
Get to it.
Right.
Yeah, hard bodies. Wait a second. This is supposed to be dirty. Where are the boobs?
Well, I mean, there was a time where, you know, if you were of a certain age, like, you knew how, like, all of us could have been mechanical engineers, because the way that you figured out how to descramble a cable box, everyone in the neighborhood had their own specific way. And there were certain units that were easier than others. And I remember there was one time where they came out with this one where the channels were changed by, it was like a brown box, and it had maybe like 15 different buttons, and you could switch between channels on it. And if you stuck a penny in the side of the button that jammed it to where you could get it, if you pushed it like halfway down, all of the scrambled channels would become unscrambled.
You guys got cable, like, we got cable at the end of, Detroit got cable like in like 1995. No, mm-hmm. We got cable like when I was, I really remember not having cable. We had a Betamax before we had cable. So you guys got all the cool boxes. Yep. And I had the Beta with the wire remote.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I'll never forget getting the Betamax, because my father dragged us over the course of a month all over Metro Detroit to investigate the VHS and Betamax and to work the guys down in price. I guess at the time it was pretty expensive. And yeah, but we didn't. By the time we got cable, it was a pretty well-oiled machine.
You see, the difference is, Rich, I didn't need the penny because I had a guy, a kid, a friend of mine in the neighborhood who had a father that decided he wanted to watch the Playboy Channel. So he got himself, it's true, and he got himself a magic black box that descrambled everything.
So
didn't have to pay for anything. You just hit the button on the special black box, which went next to your cable box, and we got every channel.
What a popular young man that
must
have been.
It was a party in his basement.
Did he charge admission? It was like the Simpsons episode.
All guys. Girls anywhere.
Oh, no.
All guys.
That's okay.
No, there was, because with us, it was just a way of, and it was the easiest box to manipulate, too. And then they changed to where the box was gone, and it was just something that you put like on the actual cord itself before it went in the wall, and then everyone was screwed, and then you couldn't get anything. But I remember, Fred, I mean, to your point, you know, before cable, I remember there was one guy in the neighborhood who had a...
Hit on?
No, it wasn't on, because HBO was all right. It was, I mean, HBO was something that...
HBO on and it.
Yeah, no, he had a laser disc, and I remember like one of the first movies he got was Splash. And we're like, whoa, we can go over to this guy's house and watch Splash, which wasn't even that great of a movie. But I just thought it was like a cool thing that you could rewind it and watch them jump out of the water and jump in. And
kids will never understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was insane. And I had a friend whose dad owned video stores. Everything he had was a cash business. Very, very shady family. It was one of the first times I ever drank, and I threw up on their floor, and her mom kicked me out of the house in the middle of the night and made my parents pick me up. And but we knew in his closet his dad had like a million pornos, and so there was the waiting game of like, okay, because we're sleeping over at Chris's house. All right, so now here's the waiting game of when, like, everything was just buying time until we got to the porno, and then you'd get to the porno, and then you'd go, why did I do this? Because now here I am in a sleepover with five guys, and I'm 15 years old, and I've just watched an hour's worth of porno, and I'm in intense, intense physical pain.
That's so
pain that I will never relieve.
It's funny. You and I, Fred, it's just to show the differences in where we grew up. None of our families had that, except they all had guns. What was hidden, like, in their places, it was guns.
Oh, Koza had guns. So, oh, whoops. Yeah, Chris had guns. there were guns. There were cash businesses. He had guns everywhere.
I mean, it was like, you know, when they were gone, the kids would go and they would show off the parents' weapons. And so, and by the way, that's always been the thing, is like, oh, well, I lock it up. None of the kids are... Every kid knows where everything is in your house. Don't ever dismiss that. They know every nook and cranny of everything that you've got hidden.
Not in my house.
That's what you say.
Because someone's always home. My wife just dwells in the home. There's never a moment where there's not now. But we were bored too. Like I think about that all the time because my son's 13. My daughter's still young, but my son's 13, and he's like still. They play wiffle ball in the backyard. Like they'll go into Newton Center and stuff, but he doesn't. Like roam around with his friends all day. Mm-hmm. Like we just went outside.
Oh, yeah.
and it was just mischief. And then so you would go to someone's house whose parents weren't there. You're right, Rich. And if they had anything, you would find it.
You knew where it was.
We would ransack places just looking for a Playboy. It's funny because the people that did have guns, we didn't really care until we got older. But I mean, we would. That's the whole. Making bombs and lighting fires and all this crap, and had friends who had to go to the fire department every Saturday for a month for fire prevention lessons. And yeah, it was just, we were so bored. But I think with the internet now, in that you can play video games with dudes just not even being in the same place, that there's not that boredom that leads to mischief, which leads to shenanigans. Because I believe my son hasn't really watched porn. Like, I believe that. So I might be ignorant or naive, but I truly do believe that he hasn't watched porn. I believe he hasn't smoked. And by the time I was 13, oh my god, I mean, we were committing crimes.
Yeah, and it's funny because my wife was talking about, like, how do we fill the time when summer comes around? And I said to her, I was like, you know, you got to give him time to be bored. I know that, that sounds crazy, but like, it's you discover some crazy. And Mary, my wife said, didn't you set someone's backyard on fire when you were bored? I was like, yes, I did, but we were making a movie, and that kind of helped my creative side of like filming like that. She goes, yeah, but you were filming the backyard on fire. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a good point.
You got to let him be bored. You got to let him carry around a target while someone shoots pellet guns at you. You got to have a guy with a crossbow and shooting it all, and shooting it at people. Yeah, oh yeah, you got to have a lot of fun.
We played a game where we would just try to knock each other out. I mean, literally knock each other out. It was the one where you would like lean over and breathe real heavy, and then you'd stand up, and your friend would take his hand and put it on your neck until you passed out.
Thanksgiving when I was about 8 years old. That I went over to the Breen's house, and that was where I learned that game.
I don't even know what the name of the game was. It was just like, let's make each other pass out, black out.
I have a way that you can feel weird.
Yeah.
And then you went, oh, okay. And then we started smoking cloves to feel weird, and then we started dipping to feel weird.
Cloves were the worst.
Oh, they're just terrible.
Well, no, no. Cloves weren't as bad as dipping. For some reason, dipping, I told you I got high and when I dipped.
Same thing. It's mainlining
tobacco.
Nicotine.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like immediately my head got light.
Same with me.
It was, I didn't think that it hit you that hard, but oh.
Oh, and do it now. Do it now, you'll fall down.
Well, yeah.
It's still no joke.
Spitting for like hours, just getting that crap out of your mouth.
Yep. All right, Rich. What's coming up? What do we got coming up in the old what happened last night?
Well, we knew the big fine was coming. Finally, Bruce Cassidy comments on his refereeing penalty that he got. Also, a little more information about who might be in net and also what players are still injured when it comes to that blue line.
All right. We will have all that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tusher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. No matter what happens this evening, know that nothing that happens on the ice today is going to be as intense as the Kendrick Perkins Quavo from Migos online battle that is taking place and has been going on for 3 years.
What is this?
You know, is it Migos? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's M-I-G-O-S. I don't, yeah, Migos. Is it Migos? Okay.
Quavo. Or Quavo from Migos and Kendrick Perkins have been going at it. And recently, this guy from Migos put a Instagram photo of Kendrick Perkins with a fist underneath his chin. And Kendrick Perkins wrote, "Thank God you're back with Migos because this Photoshop uppercut is close as you'll ever get to a hit as a solo artist. Carry on." So okay. There is beef in the streets.
All right. That's actually kind of a funny put down. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm. And because Migos, Quavo had a line in one of his songs about you're on the bench like Kendrick Perkins.
Ah.
And Kendrick Perkins didn't like that.
No.
So he shot back at Quavo or Quavo.
That's not a good line.
No.
Like you're on the Migos bench like Kendrick Perkins?
Migos are terrible.
Kendrick Perkins was a starter for years. Migos he won a championship as a starter. Like, that's a bad reference. I mean, he said like Brian Scalabrine, he's someone who's known. Yeah, like you think of him and the first thing you think of is he's a bench guy. But, like, on the bench, like Kendrick Perkins, huh?
This guy's probably just old enough to remember at the end of Perk's career, not when he was...
Even when he was in Oklahoma City, like, he must be the real, real end of it. Like, when was he a bench player?
Cleveland, I remember during one playoff series, he, like, tripped a guy up and had words
this
with him.
Tells you
he, I don't think he was on the team at that time. Wasn't he a coach?
I don't know.
Migos are terrible, and they're not popular anymore. But, I mean, they always were.
What was their big hit? Was that the dad? No, was that...
It was, like, some strip club thing. They were Atlanta strip club
but
band.
They had one huge hit. Is it Black and Yellow? Is that them? Is that Migos?
They're the ones that Saturday Night Live lampoon. They're the guys that go, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the Yang Yang Twins.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so here's the line. Get no playing time, Kendrick Perkins. Aye. That's the line.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So, but Migos not popular anymore.
Okay. I for some reason thought they had like some, and they probably do.
They did. I mean, they're popular enough where I know what they look like. Or they were.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're that young comparatively to the artists that are out today. But there is a beef in the streets with Kendrick Perkins.
Mm. Okay. I'll take Kendrick Perkins in that one.
With his palm tree in the back.
And his casket chair.
Yes.
That he never seems to leave. Well, we all knew it was coming. Now let's just hope it was worth it. Bruce Cassidy fined $25,000 by the NHL for being truthful about the officials in Game 5. Hey, Cassidy, what say you?
I guess most of what I thought I said, Hags, was more in reference to the Islanders, a little gamesmanship with Barry, his comments towards Bergie. You know, I'm always going to protect my captain and kind of push back a little bit. I mean, listen, we're in front of the cameras a lot in media. And it's an entertainment business, so it's been a good series. So there's a little bit of that back and forth. So that's where a lot of that was directed. And obviously I felt there's some calls that didn't go our way that have gone against us when it comes to high sticks. I know there was specifically one on Wagner, and there was definitely one on Bergie last night behind the net with Nelson, and they didn't get called. I voiced that, and I was held accountable for it. Usually when you get fined, you say something to the effect of embarrassing or a joke, and I didn't say any of that. I actually think those two officials are excellent officials. I thought they missed a couple of high sticks along the way here in this series. I pointed that out. We're told before, you know, we have to keep our comments civil. I thought it was. They didn't see it that way. Got a lot of respect for Coley in the NHL front office. That's the way he saw it. And we'll move on from that. Will it have an effect going forward? I've said any comment shouldn't. The refs should call what they see. I think I said that as well.
I've always wondered this. What harm is there in a coach criticizing the officials? And I know that, like, it's, you know, if you're trying to protect your officials or trying to keep people from doubting, like, the cleanliness of the game and maybe not thinking that everything's not on the up and up when you question the officials publicly. But if you see something that's egregious and you say something about it, I don't think that's a bad thing. Don't you think that that might help make the game better when they're called out?
I think these fines are like a lot of fines. It's just a deterrent. You know, there are some coaches who act like Bruce Cassidy does, and there are other coaches that have flown off the handle. Tortorella comes to mind. I mean, in certain playoff circumstances, officials, according to the NHL, the officials should not be subject to verbal abuse outside of the rink.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, listen, maybe there's a scale and maybe there's a severity of it.
So if you're going to find one, you got to find the other, no matter how well worded it is.
See, but it shouldn't be a black and white thing, because I mean, Bruce Cassidy got it there, and the worst thing he said was, "I don't think they were very good." Like that is as bad as it got when he said that.
I know that, but the intent is still the same. Regardless of how it's voiced, so you find both guys.
Well, I mean, either way.
Like it or not, I can see where the NHL is coming from here.
Let's hope the $25,000 was worth it. By the way, Bruce Cassidy, not the only Bruin fined yesterday by the NHL. Nick Ritchie's wallet, now $5,000 lighter for elbowing Scott Mayfield on Monday night. I was at the game, so I didn't see it until the replay, but that was legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, he probably should have been penalized, but he got that fine. But as the Bees head into a do-or-die game tonight in New York, one of the biggest questions is who is going to start in net after Tuukka was yanked after two periods in Game 5. Let's see if we can read between the lines as to what Cassidy is saying here.
Tuukka was here this morning going over stuff with Bob. No one went on the ice other than the taxi squad players. He'll get his treatment, and we'll find out tomorrow how he is and if he's able to go or not. We try to give you as much information as possible. I feel that's the right way to do it, but there's certain things that stay in-house here. You know, first of all, with Tuukka, we're happy with his performance. Yesterday, he's been better than he was yesterday, but we weren't good enough in front of him as well. Let's face it. You know, you need your goaltender to bail you out when you're not. It didn't happen yesterday. It has happened in other games. It happened in the previous series. So we're not dissatisfied with Tuukka's play. There is some health issues. Listen, we know that he missed some time this year. Okay, we're not going to get into them, where it's at, all those. Does it affect his game? There's also there's a lot of games in our always play. Okay, and so that at some point could be an issue in the playoffs. So there's a lot of things that go into it, where we're at in the game. You also make a decision, not for a spark, but okay, considering all these things, is this the time? So there's a number of that we go between periods and we discuss it with the player.
I mean, if I had to bet my left testicle, Swayman's in net, come puck drop.
I disagree with that. The way it sounded to me was, if Rask is healthy enough, Rask is in. He just got through saying that, you know, Rask has been great for us. We didn't play well in front of him. And he didn't necessarily bail us out like we wanted him to last night, but he's been there many times before.
But then he continued. But then he continued to mention health problems.
No, if Rask isn't healthy enough, if Rask is on the border health-wise, it looks like he would think about Swayman. But if there's any chance, what I read into this, if there's any chance Rask can play, he's playing. They're not going to pull Rask because of performance. They're going to pull him because of health. That's how I read.
I've got a different read on that. Well, what you're saying may be true, but I also think by hearing what he says, it doesn't sound like Rask is doing great.
No, it doesn't.
So once again, I think Swayman's going to be the guy tonight.
This is going to be a disaster. They're losing tonight. Write it down.
See, I don't think so. I think they actually win tonight. Now, I don't know if they win the series, but I think they win tonight.
I think all things equal, what, and I've said this before, the way I saw games 3 and 4 and the last change, even if everyone was perfectly healthy, it would be really tough for them to go into that building.
They're
and
in disarray. Well, this needs to get cleaned up.
Well, I think that defensively right now they're in big trouble because it was announced yesterday that Kevin Miller, or neither Carlo or Kevin Miller, is going to be ready for tonight's game. On top of that, Curtis Lazar, he did not even travel to New York, so he's going to be out as well. So, I mean, you know, what bodies you got there now in front of in front of whoever's going to be in?
Yeah, in a must-win game, and Lazar's played really well since they got him. You don't have Curtis Lazar. You know, DeBrusque will probably slot back in at forward on that fourth line. And then you have Tenorti and Lauzon taking second D-shift minutes. I mean, the odds are not good. They may pull one out, but the odds are not good.
No. Put it this way,
if they win this series, it's pretty damn good of them to do it.
Tonight, if you're a Bruins fan who's enjoyed this run, there could be a second run. That I'm confident about. But you'll be saying goodbye to a lot of players this evening. As the handshake line goes by, you are seeing some of these guys for the last time in a Bruins uniform.
And by the way,
for the better, because this is getting old, and this is just sounds like an unmitigated disaster that they're walking into.
Well, I mean, if they weren't injured, it wouldn't be a disaster. Like, I don't think this is anything. I think this is just injuries have kicked them in the ass.
Okay,
I still think going to play in New York with the top line being limited, even if they had everybody, I just said this, even if they had everyone, it would be tough to win there. And now that they don't have everyone, the odds get significantly longer.
They should lose this game and then keep the gang together just to keep get older, more old.
Sure.
And in age until well, they're completely irrelevant.
If Peter Chiarelli was here, that would be the plan.
Yeah, well, yeah. The plan's got to be wildly, wildly different. Because if they lose this game and do what a lot of these writers want them to do and keep the gang together, just watch this team just age into total irrelevancy where they're not even in the playoffs. So no, this sounds like a huge disaster. They got to clean up a lot of crap. They got to scrap a lot of, I mean, they're way too old. They got to scrap a lot of this crap off the side. So no, I have no confidence in them this evening.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry, Rich, other than Krejci and Rask, who you've wanted gone for months now, who else do you think won't be here?
Well, Miller's not going to play hockey. I mean, they can't keep Miller around.
True. Yep. I mean, the way you're sounding, it sounds to me like you're thinking more than just those two guys.
No, but big parts of what have been around. No, I mean, I want them to re-sign Hall. You know, this might be the last time you see Riley in a Bruins uniform, which will be very sad.
I don't think Sarge will be back.
No, Sarge will not be back. So, I mean, basically Krejci and Rask, I mean, you're keeping the perfection line together. You're keeping Hall. You can't get rid of Coyle.
No.
So they'll probably trade DeBrusque in the offseason for another young player. So you're probably seeing DeBrusque for the last time. I mean, why would they keep him? Seriously, like, why would they keep him?
Well, he's not playing in the playoffs. I mean, if you're not playing in the playoffs, there's
right.
no need for
him. So, like, why would you keep him?
Yeah.
So DeBrusque, Riley, they have Lazar for another year. DeBrusque, Riley, Krejci, Rask, Miller,
That's a significant portion.
And I could go through the roster and probably name a couple more guys.
No, but I mean, those five, I see your point on all
of
I
mean, do you disagree with any of those?
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't.
So that...
Kasha's not going to be here. That's right.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's right. Yeah, he's still on the team.
Case.
Case is gone. You're right. So there's six.
By the way, somebody on Twitter is saying to completely zig where you're zagging, LMAO, Toucher and Rich think Migos aren't popular. And that they are old. They also think Black and Yellow is their song. That was me. I was throwing that out. I have no idea.
What do we know about Migos?
They're the biggest rap group in the world, actually.
No, they're not. They're not. And they're also clowned.
ABC is another Bad Creation. They are the biggest.
Snow is, if you count international sales.
Well, we're talking about a group. You know, it's got to be a group. So
Snow is a collective. No, first
boom,
of all,
boom, 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 boom,
Migos, the Quavo guy's at least 30. So I know that for a fact. And they're not they get clowned on constantly. If you still like them, you suck. They're terrible. First of all, what do I know? They're rap for kids, for fourth graders. I mean, they're what fourth graders listen to. And second of all, no, they get clowned on constantly. Their way of rap is dying. The way that their style is dying. I don't know about the new record, but I mean, they get clowned on constantly.
I mean, listen, they're not as big as Naughty by Nature.
Don't sleep on Tretch. He was all right.
Chris Cross,
rest in peace, the good-looking one.
Salt and Pepper is immediately just being ignored.
Played the...
J.J. Fad?
Phantom Gourmet.
Did they really?
Yes, and they were excellent. I really enjoyed being there. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, well, first of all, we know who the Bruins are going to be playing tomorrow, and there is some interesting rumors as far as who could be the next Celtics coach, including one that generated right from this radio station.
All right, we'll have all that for you here, the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The guy tweeted us, you're listening right now to a sample by the biggest rap artist of all time.
Coolio. Well, I mean, listen, when you're making a guest appearance on Game On, the Rob Gronkowski Midsummer Replacement Show, then you know that you're a star.
They didn't bring that back again?
Shockingly, no. Although, Rob Gronkowski tonight or tomorrow is going to be on... Oh, it was some Fox game show. I was watching with my kids the Lego thing, and there's so many like ridiculous. Like, what was the one I was just asking about? Mental Samurai.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. You had to describe it to me.
I mean, it's just now. It's just like let's see. They might as well just have something. Let's throw crap at people's faces.
There was an episode of Family Guy where Rob Gronkowski's on it. He's on it. He's like the guest star. It's his voice, and they do a joke with his dad, and it's really his dad, and they're like. And they're like, who's this? And he's like, oh, I'm the old guy that gets to bang the girl
girls
Rob doesn't want. Or something like that. And it's like his dad saying it. it's better than that, that I just formed it. But that's the gist of it, is that he's banging Rob's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, I think Mental Samurai is just, Rob Lowe is the host. And it's like, let's put people in this thing that spins and make them like answer trivia questions. I mean, none of this stuff's going to last, and none of it is as good as that Fit in the Hole show that was on.
You may know him as artist Leon Ivy, but I call him Coolio!
That was,
and go kick a soccer ball.
Yeah, Coolio, go kick a soccer ball. I was like, all right, where's my $2,000 you promised me? And then they brought out, I think, another superstar. Do you have that one, Dan, by any chance? One of the two other big ones? Because, I mean, they were busting out. They were teasing that they
were one of music's most iconic voices, please welcome the incredible Macy Gray!
Yes! He's going to give me 1,000 chances.
What? All you have to do is name some of the most iconic voices. She, by the way, is the biggest singer in the world right now, Fred, according to Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yes, Macy Gray. She's the biggest singer in the world. So make sure that you know what's going on. So, by the way, before... was she big?
Our first pop star is the frontman of a band whose album 1459 went quadruple platinum. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark McGrath! Yeah!
Dude, he used to be punk.
How amazing is it that at one point music was so mediocre that Sugar Ray had an album that went 4 times platinum? That's 4 million albums sold.
90s are a strange time, man.
As opposed to now, where everything is this long-lasting stuff that will be in our zeitgeist forever.
Metal lives forever. All right, before we get to the Celtics stuff, I just saw this, and I need you to explain this to me. First of all, Red Sox won. Great. Chris Sale's going to be going by blah, blah, blah. But you know how they're tonight going to be doing another one of those, you know, theme nights. And I'm reading from the website. It's called The One at Fenway. Join us at Fenway Perk tonight to celebrate one of the most popular TV shows of all time, Friends. It's Friends night. They said, make sure to, and I'm trying to think, okay, what's the tie-in with Friends to the Red Sox? He said, make sure to wear Ross's red, and in parentheses, socks, sweater, or everything in Chandler's closet, and cheer on your favorite team. On top of that, you get a Central Perk mug that says Fenway Park on the other side of it.
If you dress like Chandler, you get a bottle of Vicodin. It's a whole exciting thing.
That's a good incentive.
You're
like
dressed like Matt LeBlanc. They just give you a cake.
Yeah, well, LeBlanc. LeBlanc has turned into a dad, which I appreciate. LeBlanc ain't going Hollywood. LeBlanc dresses and looks like a dad.
He just went with it. They still gave him shows.
Yeah, he was a handsome guy, and he just went, you know what? I was handsome when it mattered. And now I'm going to enjoy my life. My sex drive's down. Yep. Who needs to be this handsome anymore? I would very much appreciate it the way he looked in that.
He turned into all of us. Yeah. He got older. Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a guy that would be at my son's baseball game.
Yep. What's the name
of
the
new... He's from Newton, too.
Who's the new Garrett Austin? What's his name? Either way.
Jemai Webster?
That's it. Jemai Webster is going to be in hell tonight trying to find someone to interview that actually dressed like a character from Friends.
Well, you could go up to anyone and you could just go, all right, are you dressed as the guy from Friends? Yes.
Sure. That's me.
Yeah. I'm from the episode, the one with the misunderstanding. All right, Rich.
That's right.
We are on the clock here. I got a phone call yesterday.
All right, then we will break. And when we come back, we will get to the Celtics news. And some interesting names being thrown out there for the head coaching position. Some of the rumors, as I said, generated from this very radio station.
From iPhones. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Insiders.
Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, so nice we played it twice. Or maybe we didn't. JJ Jeans, you know what I mean. I've been watching Delocated. So I'll talk like John Glazer for the rest of the day.
Did you hear that I Think You Should Leave, season 2, July? Yes. Can't wait.
I know a guy who knows Tim Robinson from his Second City days in Detroit. And, knew it already.
So in the same month, you've got that and Ted Lasso returning. So summer TV is going to be excellent.
There's another show coming back, too. That I was excited about, but I forget.
Stranger Things. I think they usually do like the summer thing, maybe.
I stopped watching that when they got into the goblins.
There's been goblins since the beginning.
Yeah. So I backed out pretty quick.
I mean, the show's kind of about goblins.
Yeah.
Or at least one big goblin. And then there's more goblins.
Once they showed one of the goblins, I got out of there.
That was like episode 3, I think.
Yep. So I stopped watching in episode 3. I mean, I'm not lying to you.
It's not as good as it was the first two seasons, but it's still pretty good. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter likes it.
Yeah, don't feel bad about jumping off the Stranger Things bandwagon, but Ted Lasso and I Think You Should Leave. I'm actually even excited about Loki, which
I am too. That seems like that might be pretty good, and I don't like comic book stuff.
I love Tom Hiddleston though. I think he's really good. And of course, one of the Wilson brothers is back.
That Tom Hiddleston is so good that it's weird to see how nice and funny a guy he is in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's so good as that Loki. That's the thing, is that those Marvel movies, again, I tried to watch them, and I don't like a lot of them. But that Thor movie.
Ragnarok. It's funny. For people who I know who don't watch those movies, I always recommend that one. Because you don't have to be like a Marvel fan to find that movie entertaining and funny. It's very, very, very well done. It was the smartest thing Marvel did, because the first two Thor movies were way too serious, and they said, all right, well, we're going to kill this character if we continue down this boring road. Let's flip it on its head. And they got that Taika Waititi director who had done like a couple of, he did that What We Do in the Shadows movie, which was really funny. And they said, let's just turn it into a comedy. And it worked. And it was great. And his whole character from there on out is now almost the comic relief, like he was in the Endgame movies where he got all fat, which I thought was one of the better twists as far as the Avengers as well.
Yeah. And if you don't mind your kids hearing swears, there's a Seth Rogen produced movie called Nice Boys that was released in 2019. That killed an hour and a half of time last night with my children.
Well,
so there you go. All right. Rich, what's going on?
So as far as the Celtics news, there are some rumors that have been flying around. You take a look at the Vegas odds that have been going up and down and all around. And according to ESPN's Jordan Schultz, the Celtics are among the teams who have shown interest in a guy that will definitely solve their defensive woes, Mike D'Antoni. Yep. Other teams also vying for Mike D'Antoni or the Trailblazers and the Orlando Magic. What are they doing? I love other teams to have Mike D'Antoni. I love watching Mike D'Antoni teams because they'll score 140 to 150 points a game, and it will be, we don't care about defense. It's all about scoring. But you know what Mike D'Antoni teams never do? Win. Ever. Now, there might be a change with the Nets. You know, he's an assistant coach, and maybe the Nets will win something this year.
I think it's a little bit different.
But I don't think that counts.
A little bit different when you have three Hall of Famers playing for you. I think it's a little
different. Well, it's not like he hasn't had talented people play for him in the past. I mean, look at some of the teams he had down in Houston.
He never had a roster like this.
No. Not many teams have ever had a roster like the Nets have.
I guess that's what I'm saying. He's not the guy in control. I'm sure Steve Nash has put a couple of twists on it. But the fact is, this team, Brooklyn, when they finally decided to, started playing defense. All those teams of the Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash in the early 2000s.
One of my favorite basketball teams of all time.
Played no defense.
I loved that team because that was the first time you really saw firepower.
Yeah.
Like, right, that was like, welcome to the world, Mike D'Antoni. Let's see what you can do with all these stars.
Here's Sean Marion. Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash go score 125 points a game and lose to Greg Popovich in the playoffs.
Wasn't Barbosa also on that team?
Yeah, Leandro Barbosa was in that one.
Yeah.
That was on that one.
But that's the exact opposite of what the Celtics need right now. Now, an interesting rumor that actually Michael Felger broke here on the station, and he even admitted that he likes his source, but he doesn't know how much to buy into it.
Yeah, he's playing the fence. He knows this source is money.
So he said that he had heard that Jason Tatum's mom was somewhat calling the shots when it came to Brad Stevens no longer being the coach of the Boston Celtics. I find that kind of funny. I don't know if that's true, but there is one thing you can say. I don't think Brad Stevens went to the front office and said, I don't want to be the coach anymore. That there was a reason that he was moved.
My mom got me this job.
Well, I mean, of course.
She said, my son, she's produced a bunch of pictures of me wearing sports jerseys as a youth.
Wow.
And said, could you please keep my son on the station when you flip formats? So, yeah, my mom calls the shots for me.
It worked out well for you.
Imagine if that's true. Like, what a man. He's a father himself.
I don't believe that. I don't. Now, I believe that Jason Tatum did not like Brad Stevens as a coach? Sure. I mean, or maybe he just felt that he didn't click with him. There was something that was off. There's a reason, as I said, Brad Stevens isn't the coach of this team anymore. And if you're going to cater to anybody, it's Jason Tatum. And matter of fact, Jason Tatum right now, most important employee that the Celtics have, he can call any shot he wants. So I would believe that if that was the case where he said, I can't work with Stevens anymore, and they would move him. If indeed he did that. But it sounds like, according to Felger, the one guy that Jason Tatum does click with is assistant coach Jay Larinaga. And that's why he has heard that they are moving towards having him be the new head coach of the Boston Celtics, which, Fred, I disagree with. I don't think that's going to happen, because I actually do think that you're onto something. And that is, I think that they, because of all of the press that it's gotten about Boston not being a good place to play because of the subtle racism and everything out there, I think that it actually would behoove them to have an African-American coach. And I think that, you know, obviously Jay Larinaga is not that guy.
Well, Tatum trumps all that. So if Tatum wants him,
it's true. Tatum is the number one most important employee of the Boston Celtics.
But it's weird. I mean, Larinaga is Brad Stevens' right-hand man. They're pretty similar in a lot of ways. I find that Stevens' message obviously was falling flat. And you're going to hire a guy that's a lot like him? I mean, it just, that whole dynamic is strange.
Is he like him? I don't know. Like, I don't know his coaching style. I don't know how he connects with players.
Is he from the Lou? Is he a Saint lunatic?
No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, there has to be something they have in common.
Maybe that's what it is.
Despite their racial differences, there has to be something that has drawn them together.
So now we're hearing Chauncey Billups is the leader in the clubhouse for the Portland Trailblazers, yes. But
I think Chauncey is a guy that the Celtics really want. I at least want to sit down with and talk to extensively.
I'd take him over Jason Kidd any day.
I would agree with that.
But Jason Kidd is also somebody that he has taken his name out of the, or at least has said publicly, he does not want to be the coach of the Portland Trailblazers, because Damian Lillard essentially was lobbying for him. And he goes, I don't want to mess anything up and step in the way, so I'm going to take my name out of the hat.
I think that's ridiculous.
Which is stupid. I mean, it still doesn't mean he won't be coach. But that's another name that's being thrown around for the Boston Celtics. If they can get Chauncey Billups, I think that that's a good solution for now. I mean, I'm hearing Rick Carlisle could be available. I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't want Carlisle for the same reason you don't want D'Antoni. Obviously, Carlisle's a better head coach, I think.
Carlisle's won.
And he's one of those guys that's been around a really long time. If you want a young guy to connect with your athletes, D'Antoni and Carlisle are not the answer.
No, Carlisle is, you know, one of these system, meaning the system of the NBA. He's just been around, and he's the antithesis, I think.
He also just got a vote of confidence, so I don't think he's leaving.
Players like him, too.
Yes.
Like, that's the other thing, is that he's a guy, like, you've never heard anyone say anything bad about Rick Carlisle.
Do the players' moms like him?
That's the big question, Fred. Yeah. I don't know where the hell that came from.
Did she want a muscle man, or does she want a long leaner? Does she like a dude with a little bit of a dad bod, because it tells her that she could have some security at home? I mean, what do I have to do? Facial hair, no facial hair? You like a stash? I mean, what do I got to do? You like Billy Dee Williams? You like, what do you want me to do? How can I make your mom like me?
Have you seen those pictures of Jokic, who just won the MVP, from when he was a kid? That
you showed me.
Yes.
He was a fatso kid.
It gives hope to anyone out there.
Bag of potatoes when he was young, and he's a bag of potatoes now.
There's a internet thing going around now of Felger and Maz of the 2016 draft dismissing trading the third overall pick for Jokic.
Well, Jokic was a second rounder, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's the first MVP, I think, to be a second rounder.
That is true. That is true. But they had the audacity not to, 5 years ago, predict the greatness of Jokic, which is, I mean, looking back, I mean, how can you even listen to those guys anymore?
Even watching him play, you can't believe he's scoring as much as he. I've never seen someone more awkward and clumsy looking dominate the way he does.
I feel a lot better giving him money than I would some stick that you know is going to break down. Jokic is that every pound of that body is natural.
There's it's not true.
He's not muscular, and he's not too skinny.
What's going to happen when he stops playing, Fred?
Oh God, he's going to be the fattest man in the world. Yeah, he's going to weigh 500 pounds.
He's going to go.
He's going to get. Oh yeah, it's gonna, like the activity on the basketball court is all that's keeping him
from a heart attack.
Fred, you ever opened a can of biscuits before?
Yeah,
like that's literally the moment he stops playing basketball.
Yeah.
Sport is literally keeping him upright.
Have you seen Big Country? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, Big Country's a high school coach or something.
Oh, he's enormous.
He's one of those guys that, like, he probably weighs 390 pounds. Like, yeah. Crash used to weigh 300 pounds. Like, imagine being 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like, he'll weigh 450 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And still be able to move around a little bit.
But, all right. I saw Perkins. That's another example, by the way, when Perkins stopped playing.
Antoine Walker.
That
might be the best example of all.
Antoine Walker looks like he ate Antoine Walker.
Yeah, Antoine Walker is legitimately fat.
Like, he looks like Shaq now.
Like, Kirk's still, like, big. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he jokes about Antoine Walker.
Yeah, Antoine Walker isn't tall enough to get away with the Perkins. It's like Perkins' head weighs 55 pounds.
Yes, that's true.
All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.